Please turn with me to the book of Isaiah, the Prince of Prophets. Isaiah, find chapter 41. Now, our text for the next 2 weeks is going to be verse number 10. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse number 10. And while you're finding your place, won't you listen to this story? Black Bart was a professional thief whose very name struck fear as he terrorized the Wells Fargo stage line. From San Francisco all the way to New York City, his name becomes synonymous with all the dangers of the frontier. And between the years 1875 and 1883, he robbed 29 different stagecoach crews. And amazingly, Brother Tom, Bart did it all without ever firing a single shot. Because of the hood that hid his appearance, no victim ever saw his face. He never took a single hostage, and never once did a sheriff trail him. Instead, Black Bart used fear to paralyze his victims, and his sinister presence was enough to terrify the toughest stagecoach guards. That's the story of Black Bart. In church, that is exactly what fear will do. Fear paralyzes the children of God. Let me give you an example of that. Fear of what others may think about us cripples most Christians from speaking the good news of Jesus Christ to their friends or to their families, to their neighbors or to their coworkers, or even to their teammates. Crippling, paralyzing fear. And that's precisely why God has given us Isaiah 41 and verse number 10, where he said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Did you know that one of our great hymns is founded upon that verse? The hymn is "How Firm a Foundation." Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. That's Isaiah 41:10. Now, when I grew up there in Mississippi on the edge of Tornado Alley. I mean, every year it seemed we had a few tornado warnings, including one year that I particularly remember. We were heading home on Christmas Eve from Granny's house after celebrating Christmas and a tornado warning. And those proved to be some fearful times indeed, some more fearful than others. Well, as an adult, God has planted me here in Florida, home of Hurricane Alley. It seems I've traded tornadoes for hurricanes. Brother John, destined to be blown away. Well, just a few years ago, a major hurricane named Michael barreled through the panhandle and it destroyed everything in its path. And as Michael approached the shoreline, life-threatening weather was not the only thing filling the air. Fear was also filling the air. Friend, can I tell you something? When the storm of life blows through your little sphere of existence and living, you better at that time, you better make sure that you're tied down to Jesus so you don't get blown away. Now, I'm going to ask you right off the bat this morning, where's your hope today? Where does your security lie in? Is it anchored down to the solid rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ? Friend, I hope it is, because the storms of life are coming. Now, sometimes the Lord calms the storm, Brother Doug. At other times, He lets the storm rage, and He calms His child. That's precisely what the promises of our text are all about. God gave us the promise of Isaiah 41:10 because fear, it is something that every one of us are going to face in life. Now, living this life in a sin-cursed world, it brings with it fears that we face from our youngest years all the way down to our dying days. The title of the message, Brother Roger, Facing Fear and Finding Faith. Over the course of the next 2 weeks, may God help us to see what His Word has to say about overcoming fear, about conquering fear, and about facing fear with faith. And Brother Charlie, how you and I can live a future that is free from the bondage of fear. If you found your place in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse number 10, let's go ahead and stand together and let's read this wonderful verse of Scripture together. Isaiah 41 and verse number 10. Everybody ready? The Bible says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And all God's people said, thank you, and you may be seated, and let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, would you encourage our hearts today with the truth that is in this powerful verse. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for the truth of it, and we thank you, Lord, for the practicalness of it. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are a faithful God. We pray, Lord, that you may help us, Lord. Meet us right where we are in our fears. We pray that the text today and next week would encourage our hearts to trust the loving Savior. Would you help us in that way? Father, we pray for anybody that be unsaved today that you may move upon their heart and convict them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and save them by your grace. We pray for your people today that may be fainting and fearful. We pray today that you would help them to stand behind the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, with courage. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the title of the message, Facing Fear and Finding Faith. Over the course of the next 2 weeks, I want us to discover from this verse three principles that will help us to act in faith when we are faced with fear. Now, we're going to cover the first principle today. God said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Now, that verse is just pregnant with promises, and we're really going to get into those on next Sunday morning. Isaiah 41:10, one of the more well-known scriptures and the life verse of many believers, including my son, John. There he is back there running the soundboard. Anybody else? Is this their life verse, Isaiah 41:10? None? That's okay. It is the life verse of many Christians. It certainly is for my son, John. I can't tell you how many times that I've seen John use that promise in prayer in his life. On the baseball field, playing the piano in church, he bows his head, talks to the God of heaven, and I know exactly what he's praying about, because we've already talked about it. Now, growing up, understand, John was a nothing player that nobody wanted on their team. It was almost an act of mercy if somebody took him to play. Today, he's a high school standout, facing challenges on some of the biggest stages for a kid at his age on the baseball field. And I want to tell you, he's relied on this promise from God, and God has blessed him. Amen. John's also been asked to play the piano at several preachers' meetings, the North Florida and South Georgia preachers' meetings. What a great honor that is! One that also brings with it a great deal of fear for a teenager. And I've seen him pray and face those fearful situations, listen, in the power of this promise in prayer. And I've seen God, I've witnessed God in faithfulness provide for my son and bless him to play masterfully on the piano during those preachers' meetings. I've seen God work and bless my son as he relies on the promise of this verse here, and he's received recognition and reward for his performance on the Wakulla High School baseball team. Now, friend, you can sit there all day long, and you can tell me, and you can argue with me, and you can flap your lips in the wind all day long and say, God is not real. You can tell me all day long, God doesn't answer prayer, and God doesn't answer his promises. Say it all you want. I'm never, ever going to believe you. And do you know why? It's because I've seen it with my own eyes and my son with this very verse. God answers prayer. God is faithful to his promises. Facing fear and finding faith. Now, our text this morning is primarily a promise, and what a powerful one it is. But is this promise for us? Or is it just for Old Testament Israel? We certainly would never want to take somebody else's promises and then give it to ourselves. So is this promise for us today, or is it just for Israel in the Old Testament? Well, notice with me the words chosen and called in the preceding verses. Look at verses 8 and 9 with me. In verse number 8, the Bible says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen." Mark that word there in your Bible. Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Look at verse 9. "Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee," underline that word called, "and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away." Now, friend, what does the New Testament say about those of us that believe? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "Those that believe, we are chosen of God and precious." Over in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "Those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called by his grace." Chosen and called. The message? Yes, this text and its promises are for us today. Now, in direct context, the words of Isaiah 41:10 were not for the nation of Israel as a whole, but only for those in Israel that believed. And in applicable context, the promises of Isaiah 41:10, they belong to the family of God and everyone in it for all ages. And thank God for that, because we live in a world that is full of trouble, and every single one of us are going to have to deal with our share of it. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse number 33, he said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." But then look how comfortably God speaks to us in the times and trials of trouble. God says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." In this verse, we find commands, 2 in fact, and we find some comforts, 5 in fact. So we find commands and comforts to overcome fear with faith, and we're going to see that we're going to need both for the victory. So today we're going to begin to look at our first principle to help us when we are faced with fear to act in faith. Principle number 1 is the commands to master. The commands to master, and they're located right at the start of the verse. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed." Fear and fluster, They're everyday emotions that we all encounter. I'm telling you, living life are just going to present some problems that perplex us. We will get flustered. We're also going to find that the formation of fear in our heart is part of life. Brother Roger, we're going to face some situations that are simply bigger than us or our capabilities. And both of those can lead us away and astray from a God-fearing and honoring disposition. Therefore, we are given the commands to fear not and be not dismayed. In other words, do not get fearful. Do not get flustered. Fear not. Be not dismayed. That's what we're going to take a look at this morning. Now, fear. Fear packs with it the luggage of torment. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 18, the Bible says, fear hath torment. And that's exactly the opposite of what Jesus provides us. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, speaking to his disciples, and by us through extension, Jesus said this. He said this to them, that in me ye might have peace. Now the Lord wants to guide our steps. He wants to lighten our path. But fear hath torment. Now at this time when the text was written, Israel certainly had reason for fear and for dismay. Israel was not a rich society. At this time, they were refugees whose land and holy city lay in ruins. Not only were they not a rich society, they were also not a powerful society. They had no king. They had no army. They were weak and helpless before the nations that surrounded them. Yes, at the time of this writing, when God gave the promise through his mighty servant Isaiah to the nation of Israel, to those that believed, at this time they certainly had reason to fear, certainly had reason to be dismayed. They were not a rich society. They were not a powerful society, and they were not a great society. They had been guilty of grievous rebellion against God. And as a result, they had suffered great humiliation and chastening. Brother Tom, they lacked mighty human resources to meet the tall challenges that they faced. That kind of sounds like our life, doesn't it? We live from check to check. And we find as we live that we're nothing but little peons next to some of the challenges that we have to face. And down in our heart, though it grieves us, we find that our heart wants to stray from the God that we love. But that's exactly when God steps in and he assures us, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness. Did you get it? It's not about us. It's about God. It's been well said. Look at others and be distressed. Look at yourself and get depressed. But look at God and be blessed. Friend, how big is God? There's always hope in God. I don't care how far gone you think that person is. I don't care how far that loved one that you love and want to be saved is beyond the grasp of God, but there's always hope in God. And if we're going to act in faith, when we are faced with fear, my friend, there are some commands that we need to master. Command number one, do not get fearful. Look at our text. God says, fear thou not. Now that's a command. Fear thou not. Now what is fear? Fear is that uneasy feeling that we're inadequate. It's the alarm that goes off when we feel threatened. Fear keeps people from obtaining their goals. I tell you what, athletes know exactly what fear is, and it is an absolute killer on the playing field. But fear is equally destructive to us spiritually. And Brother Charlie, that's exactly why the scripture gives so much attention to the subject of fear. Now, I'm not talking about natural and normal fears. Fear such as the fear of falling, or the fear of walking onto a busy highway, or the fear of bungee jumping. We're not talking about natural and normal fears. We're talking about a gripping fear, a paralyzing fear. We're talking about the spirit of fear. So that's what fear is. Now, do you know why we have fear? My friend, we have fear because we think our needs or the needs of someone we love are not going to be met. We have fear because we think the things that we are depending on to meet our needs, we fear because we fear those are going to be taken away from us. But my friend, can I tell you very candidly this morning that the deepest need of your life and the deepest need of your heart and my heart can only be met by the Lord Jesus Christ. And He can never be taken away from you. So fear thou not. Hebrews 13 and verse number 5 says, be content with such things as you have. Have you been saved? My friend, you have the Lord Jesus Christ. Be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee, and I will never forsake thee. So we know what fear is. We know why we have fear. But what causes fear? Well, the answer is sin. You say, preacher, that's the answer for everything that is bad. Well, you're not wrong. The four-letter word fear is the product of the three-letter word, sin. A couple of things quickly. Number one, fear started by sin. Fear started by sin. You say, Pastor, are you sure? Absolutely. Do you have a verse for us this morning? Of course I do. I love it when we have that back and forth. As with most things in the Bible, the root of fear can be found in its germ form in the book of Genesis. It's located in the book of beginnings. In Genesis chapter number 3, we find that God has placed Adam in the paradise of the garden. And God and Adam had absolutely pristine and perfect fellowship with each other. Then God gave Adam a wife, Eve, and we notice that Adam was never afraid of God until the day that he broke his commandment. When that happened, Adam and Eve heard the Lord and they hid in the land. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 10, and he, Adam, and he said unto God, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. An absolutely devastating verse. It changed man's relationship with his Creator. Not to get off too deep into it this morning, but a simple takeaway would be this. No sin, no fear. Had sin never entered the world, fear had never entered man's heart. Fear started by sin. Number two, fear sustained by sin. Yes, fear started in Eden because of sin. And yes, fear continues in the hearts of men and women today because of sin. Now, if you're in here today and you're unsaved, please know, please understand that you are going to remain a slave to your fear until the day you trust Jesus Christ. And if you die without ever trusting Jesus Christ, you're going to remain a slave to fear for all eternity. But even God's people can struggle with fear. When we get saved, the old nature remains. And unless we are seeking to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the flesh is going to win the day, it's going to win the battle. Can I tell you the only thing that can cast out the beast of fear from our heart is the perfect love of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 18, the Bible says, there is no fear. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. I'm telling you, that verse means that the chains of love are stronger than the chains of fear are. Fear, a self-imposed prison that will keep you from being what the Lord intends for you to be. A fear started by sin. Fear sustained by sin. Number three, fear swells by sin. We got to move against fear with the weapons of faith and love. Perfect love casteth out fear. And we can look within, and we can look without, and find the truth of fear. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 5, he said, within were fears. Now sometimes the fear is inward. We question ourselves, am I making the right decision? Am I doing the right thing here? What should I do? What choice should I make? That can cause fear to settle in. Now, if we were closer to the Lord, we'd not fear such things. God would grant us discernment. God would grant us wisdom. God would give us clarity and conviction. God would give us peace about His leadership in those areas. Now, what caused that fear? Again, sin. That is, whatever is causing the distant fellowship between you and God. So we see that there are fears that are within, but we also readily find that there are fears that are without as well. Yes, plenty to cause fear. Sickness and disease. Poorness and poverty. The job and the economy. Some relationship difficulty. Our past, or what's coming in the future. It's been well said that he who fears not the future may enjoy the present. And how true that statement is. My friend, don't look down. Brooding over your own weakness, you're going to see enough of it to make you nauseated. And don't look back on a past that is strewn with failures. You'll be paralyzed and you'll never do anything for God. My friend, we need to look up and we need to look forward to the living Lord, Jesus Christ. Fears within, fears without. Some create fears when there are none. Their imaginations run wild and they fear about every little thing, not content to be at peace. This is also a very poor testimony for Christ. I mean, everybody and everything is out to get them, and fear never slumbers. Are you a worry wart? One lady said this. She said, don't tell me it doesn't do any good to worry. Most of the things I worry about never come to pass. Worry. Do you know what it is? Worry is a cycle of inefficient thoughts that are whirling around a center of fear. Yes, plenty of reasons to fear in this wicked world, our old nature, the things that surround us, the forces of darkness. So remember, when you're afraid, get your eyes off of the problem and get your eyes onto Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 6. My friend, when fear comes, when that thing grips your heart, then make your request specific. Ask God for exactly what you need. I want to tell you, I can't tell you how many times that the Lord has answered the prayer for help in my life. He's done it more times than I can stand up here and tell you about this morning. Sitting there at work, trying to understand, not knowing the response that is needed, the answer that is given to solve the problem there in the meeting. I've asked God for help. And over and over and over and over again, God has delivered. At home, wanting to engage, struggling to know how to engage, but not wanting to damage a relationship. Laying there late in bed at night, God gives the way. Fears are removed. Listen to me. If we would face fear and find faith, we must learn, first of all, that there are some commands to master. Do not get fearful. God said, fear thou not. Is it fear or is it faith? Fear imprisons. Faith liberates. Fear paralyzes, but faith empowers. Fear disheartens. Faith encourages. Fear sickens, but faith heals. Fear makes one useless, but faith makes one serviceable. Faith is in Christ, and fear is usually wrapped up in ourselves and a lack of looking to Christ. Fear is faithlessness. The devil, that old sinister minister of fear, when he takes his hand and reaches down and puts that icy grip of fear on your heart, mister, do not be afraid to make a stand for God. But we've never done family devotions before. Fear! Make a stand for God! Do not be afraid. We've never come to other services besides Sunday morning. Fear! Make a stand for God. Fear is an insult to God. Do you know why? Because he said, I will be with you. Fear will destroy you. It is a dark room where all the negatives are developed. Let your fears go this morning before they make you faint-hearted. And stop inspiring everybody around you with the poison of fear. Instead, take a stand for God. Has not God been good? God will continue to manifest his goodness. God is good. That's one of his attributes. That's one of his character traits. And the eyes of faith behold it. So my brothers and sisters, I know some of you have some things before you that are fearful. But may we approach the coming days expecting to see the goodness of the Lord manifested. Be strong. Be of good courage. For the Lord will fight for us if we stand in faith. Apply that to whatever it is that you fear about. We're talking about this morning the commands to master. If we are going to act in faith, when we are faced with fear, there are commands we have to master. The first one is, do not get fearful. Fear thou not. Number two, and we'll close with this, do not get flustered. The verse says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Dismayed. Throwing in the towel. And quitting. My friend, it's always too soon to quit. But it's never too late to get started. Dismayed. Alarm. Danger. Dismay. Results in a sense of dumbfoundedness, of being puzzled. But be not dismayed. The hymn says, be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Isn't that the message of Isaiah 41:10? So helpless we are before death. So helpless we are before life. So helpless before God. But be not dismayed. Life humbles us so often. But be not dismayed. Man can take an atom and he can split that thing in two. Man can send a man to the moon and he can walk on the moon. A man can open up the chest of another man and perform open heart surgery. Man can create and form something called the internet with wires and wireless things that can send videos and messages all across the world. Yet there are some things that we are powerless against. Be not dismayed. Listen, pride. Pride and self-sufficiency, they are nothing when the heart grows faint and is reduced to nothing but the cry, oh God, help. Where's all the pride and self-sufficiency then? Where's the strength of self-sufficiency then? Oh God, help. A man may be boastful and proud among others. He may be proud of his accomplishments and the prosperity of his life. But what does that man do in the day of sorrow? What does that man do in the adversity of anguish? What does that man do in the face of disease and death? My friend, we're sinners living in a sin-cursed world. We bury our loved ones, we visit the cemetery, and we leave a part of ourselves behind. Death comes in and it wastes our families. It destroys our homes and it puts us down in the dust of the ground. These are providences that nobody in here, these are providences of life that we have no control over. Be not dismayed at the sea of terrors. Be not dismayed at poor health. Be not dismayed at the pain you feel when a loved one has an emergency. The flood of frustrations that come in when nothing seems to go as we plan, despite our best efforts, despite all of the planning and the hard work that was put into it. The deluge of disappointments from other people and from circumstances and our possessions. No control. What do you do? My brothers and sisters, what do you do when you're watching your mom and dad take their last breaths? Are living their last days. What do you do when you're holding the unresponsive life of your child in your arms? What do you do? What do you do when your spouse is taken from you in an untimely death? What do you do? What do you do when you've been let go from the job? There's no nest egg in the bank. And you got a family with a wife and a kids to take and provide for. What do you do? What do you do when your spouse walks out on you forever, severing the family? What do you do when all your possessions are taken in a natural disaster? What do you do? What do you do when the doctor walks in and says, it's cancer? What do you do when the funeral is tomorrow? I'll tell you what you have to do, my friends. We got to look to God. Amen. We have to look to God when we face a difficult situation, an impossible tomorrow. We must remind ourselves how great God is. Isaiah 40 and verse number 26, lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power. Not one faileth. What do we do when we face that difficult situation? That impossible tomorrow. My friend, we got to remind ourselves how great God is. We got to remind ourselves how great God's promises are. How great are God's promises? They're this great. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. This is God speaking. He says, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee. I will help thee. We got to remind ourselves of the great promises of God and how great God is. The two commands in our text this morning are against fear and dismay. Both of the commands are very narrow. Fear thou not, be not dismayed. No wiggle room, no room for gray interpretations. Fear not. That means to not fear about anything or any time. That is absolute. It is unqualified. There are no statutes of limitations on that command. Fear thou not. But then God says, be not dismayed. That means to be not dismayed at all. Then if we would face fear and find faith, these are the commands to master. As we close, I would ask you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you this morning what your fears are. Your fears are not my fears, and your fears are not your wife's fears, and your wife's fears are not your fears, and your mom and dad's fears are not the same as your children's fears. Would you ask the Holy Spirit to show you this morning what your fears are, and then confess those things as sin? Repent. Reach up and take hold of the right hand of God that is outstretched to sustain you, that is outstretched to give you the victory over fear. Are you facing fear today? Are you facing fear? Don't allow that fear to paralyze and cripple you from being used of God. If God's kept you this far, why don't you trust Him to keep you the rest of the way? Know God's will by knowing God's Word. Hence the importance of daily Bible study in your life. Hence the importance of being in church services under the preaching of the Word of God so often and as many times as the doors open, the Bible says, and so much the more as we see the day approaching, not this one time a week Christianity business. That's not the language of Christianity in the end time. So much the more as you see the day approaching. You can't do that sitting at home watching somebody on the internet, on the radio, listening to somebody driving down the car. That's in the context of the local church. You really want to get rid of those fears and be the conqueror that Jesus Christ has created you to be and saved you to be, then you need to know God's Word. And you need to know God's will. God's will is revealed in His Word. And the more you get in it, the more you're going to know exactly what God wants you to do and the promises He has just for you. Faith will increase. Fears will be destroyed. We're going to have a time of invitation this morning. I pray that the Lord would encourage your heart to deal with fear today. Whatever your fear is, deal with it today. We've given you practical ways how to deal with that fear. Now, the question is, are you going to face fear in faith, or is that just going to be some fancy title to a sermon that you heard on Sunday morning? Are you going to face your fear with faith? That's the challenge. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father,